I'd like to ask the GEO committee, GEO chair, to take resolution I, and then the PDEC chair to take the resolution that was added to the agenda. It was N, I think. Julie.
Thank you. I'm looking for I.
Back at page 15.
Resolution I, authorizing a request for proposals for county property. I'll move it.
Is there a second? Seconded by Pam.
In line 19, the word application should be added after grant. The climate showcase communities grant application to the US EPA. At that point, it was an application. That's the only change in that. And the RFP was given to us as a confidential document, and I didn't know if we had to go to executive session now. I have no idea what you have in mind.
I asked Jonathan, but my sense is that most of it we can discuss in open session, and let's kind of go through whatever questions we have, and if we hit one of those, oh, wait a minute, is this executive, we can do that. Jonathan, do you have a suggestion?
I'm not entirely sure I understand the question. The
entire document was stamped confidential.
Right.
It's a real estate issue. Is this entire discussion executive session material, or are there just a few areas where that are more sensitive than others?
Well, certainly not the entire discussion, because it's already been had in committee in public.
Wasn't it an executive session?
I think dollar amounts were in executive session. I don't intend to bring up dollar amounts, but I wanted to make sure that.
Yeah. My recollection, and it was a while ago, is that there was a discussion in open session, and then dollar amounts were discussed in executive session, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know any reason why we wouldn't follow that here.
That's fine. So I wanted to call attention to two things in the RFP document that I guess was in your red folder as a confidential document. In the section, that's about payment for property, which is on the bottom of page 4 and the top of page 5 in the version I have. Payment for property has two possibilities. One is for sale, and one is by lease. And in either case, it is silent on the question of interest. And I spoke with Ed Marks during the break, and I think, well, I should let him speak for himself, but I think with respect to interest, it's not mentioned because it was not contemplated that interest would be charged. But if we need to refer to interest in this to make it clear to the whoever responds to this RFP, then language could be added. So that's one thing that maybe Ed could talk about. And the other thing in the same part of this section, payment for property, as I said, it begins by saying in the case of sale of the property, and there's a lot of language. And at the end of that section about sale, there's a sentence that said, although sale of the property is a preferred alternative, the county will consider a proposal for a ground lease. And I suggest that that be struck, because it's such a very complicated document now that I cannot imagine any responder seeing that language, even considering a lease. I think it obviates any possibility of that. So I suggest striking the sentence that says that, and then beginning a new paragraph that says, in the case of the ground lease, the lease proposal should include, and then go on with that. So there are two parallel paragraphs in this section called payment for property. And I spoke with, again, Ed Marks during the break, and that seemed okay to him. So with those changes, if you want to discuss them, that's fine. if you want to accept them, that's also fine, and we could just vote on the release of the RFP. So what is your pleasure?
Oh, Julie, I'm not clear what you mean about interest and
okay, then.
Okay. Ed, do you want to address those?
Well, under the payment for the property, it states that half of the payment would be due at closing and half would be paid as units were built and sold as an incentive to developers, kind of a shared risk in terms of any real estate development. Holding the property over time while you're developing is part of the financial risk. So we didn't, and I talked to Joe about this today as well, we didn't, when we wrote this, contemplate any interest charge during that period of time. So if we need to clarify that, that's fine. If there's a sense we should, then that's another question. But that was not intended.
Okay, and then the other change would be?
Simply to separate out of separate paragraphs in the case of the sale of property, in the case of the lease of the property.
And to not say anything about a preferred alternative?
That's what is being suggested.
Okay.
That was my sense, from years ago talking about this, but if the desire is just to keep them separate, that's fine.
Okay, so let's talk about those two items, Frank.
I raised this question with John because Ed was unavailable at the time, and I discussed it with Dooley. What on the sale, the ground lease item, is another issue. This amount, if the full purchase price isn't paid at the time the deal is consummated, what this amounts to is an installment sale or an installment purchase, and indeed, any purchaser should be charged an interest charge because they're getting a benefit of a county, a piece of property, interest-free until they sell these units. And I'm sure we can come up with some sort of a formula as to how to apply that. But I, for one, simply would be supportive of charging interest. I don't think anybody should get an interest. What this amounts to is an interest-free loan.
I understand where you're coming from, Frank. I think under normal circumstances that might be appropriate. I would just make the case that we're asking for a lot of public benefits in this project, including affordable housing units and a number of other things. And this would be a way of incentivizing someone to make that kind of an investment that they wouldn't otherwise maybe be inclined to make. So, but I really, it's the pleasure of the legislature. That's our proposal, was not to charge interest. If we want to put language in there suggesting that a negotiated interest rate would be applied, that's fine. I don't think there's any way we'd want to try to set it right now because there's a lot of factors that could go into that.
Kat?
Does Jonathan have a perspective on this?
On whether to charge interest?
The legalities of it. To Frank's point, that it amounts to a gift.
Well, Frank's point, I think, was that it's an installment sale. That it was an installment sale and therefore should have interest. I think the plain truth is when you're doing something like this, you can just set a higher number, figuring that that's accounting for interest, or you can have a number which is lower and add interest. But I don't. I think it's when you get right down to it, the financial part is just a number.
So there's no legal concerns with regard to doing it this way?
No, I don't have an issue on the sale of doing it that way.
Mike?
I voted against this at committee. I was concerned about a couple of things. One is the amount of the purchase price. The other, which we really don't know here, there's been some change in the language that's made it a little better. I'm also a little concerned about the idea of having to incentivize another municipality for a possible change in zoning to permit this, which will require the extraction of certain things from the developer. However, I do think, on reflection here tonight, that we might as well go ahead with the RFP. I really want to compliment our planning department for the thought and work that they have done on this RFP. It's one of the most amazing RFPs I've read on the legislature, for quite frankly. So I'm going to end up voting for this. I've still got some reluctance about it, but that's how I've decided.
Was that a modest shrug? Is that what you just...
Well,
that Mike didn't see?
Amazing RFP. I'm not sure if that's good or bad.
Dooley, did you, when you raised this, what was...
Yeah, right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm assuming that the changes that are shown in this, the document, where there's a lot of track change, is what we're passing, unless we change it now to read otherwise. And the interest was one of those things. Actually, I have a question under submission requirements, which is just the next section in this. The second line down talks about including compliance with PZ standards. And above there are PDZ and PNZ. But there's no PZ.
That should be PNZ. That'll be correct.
Okay.
It'll be all PNZs.
They're all PNZs. Okay,
yep.
Thank you. So with that last correction, I don't have any other changes. And I think that we can go ahead and vote on the issuance of the RFP, unless
okay.
Somebody has some motion.
Pam, Carol, Liz, and Frank.
Well, I am a little concerned because I see Dooley looking at one, which is the short one that is the one that you submitted, and that is different than the one that was in our packet, right? I see other people looking at the one that was in our packet. And so I don't know.
If I'm looking at the wrong one, that's terrible.
So I don't quite know.
The one in our packet is a revised June 26th.
Right.
Proposed for release July 6th.
That's yours.
But that's in your packet. That's in the folder also.
Yeah, the distinction would be revised June 26th. That was...
And July or July 2nd, that's correct.
And Dooley's is revised July 2nd. And Pam, I think that the difference in length is all the subsequent background material.
Well, I know, but I'm just suggesting that there are some of my colleagues are looking at a different copy of this than the one that Dooley is reading from. That's what I'm suggesting. I just think that there needs to be a little clarification about which document we are at.
Thank you.
That's all.
Dooley, which one are you...
I was working from the one that said July 2nd because it's the most recent version.
Oh, but the committee moved the July 26th version, right? June 26th.
The committee did not vote on the RFP. It moved the resolution for consideration. The RFP was still being worked on, yeah.
But the document the committee was working with was June 26th, correct?
Yes.
I was assuming that's what we're working on.
The committee agreed to certain editorial changes Dooley suggested, and those have been made on that version. Off-track changes are the changes that were made, as far as I know.
Okay, so the committee was working with what was at the time revised June 25th, and track changes is now June 26th.
Right.
July 2nd is something different.
The only thing that's different is the part I called your attention to in the payment section. Payment for property section. That's the only difference.
Okay, but that is not something that went through committee, so appropriately we should all have started with the June 26th version, correct?
June 26th should be the starting point, and then Dooley's change suggesting the separate paragraph under payment for property with regard to the lease. I think that's...
That's correct, and that's where the two
difference.
Items of
okay.
interest and separating sale and lease into separate paragraphs. That's where those two arose, and that's what's reflected in the July 2nd. That's the only change, and that's where I began the discussion now. And those were things that arose after the committee meeting but seemed important enough to address at this meeting.
I think for
and
the
I'm
sake
sorry
of
that I didn't say the dates to start with.
Okay. I think for the sake of following the committee's process, I'd like us not to be looking at the one that says July 2nd, that we should be looking at July 26th. And at the moment, I haven't heard any new language on interest.
That's right. It's not there.
Okay. And I have heard the suggestion about taking out one sentence and putting in the case of a ground lease, such and such, and that's a new paragraph. That's easy enough for us to do here. Thank you, Pam. So, okay, all right. I have Carol, then Leslie, then Frank.
Okay. I'm going to work from the one that was in our packets that we had a chance to review. That's what's on the table?
And you're saying, yes, that's okay. June 25th,
okay.
26th.
I would point out that in addition to the alternatives that Frank and Jonathan raised about charging more versus, you don't need to look at this actual document because I'm just assuming we're working with the one that we've had a chance to review at this point. In addition to the possibilities of charging more or charging interest, we can do what this proposal essentially is, I think. And the way that I understand this is that we are looking to encourage certain behaviors among developers, and that it may be that in flusher times, we can just, ask competing proposals to, for what amenities they're going to provide. We're asking for an awful lot of amenities in public amenities in a time where it's not so easy to develop, where the public purpose that we're trying to achieve here, which is showing the way to the future, both in terms of pedestrian friendly, in terms of energy efficiency, in terms of sort of the way that we approach building, we're asking somebody to think outside of the box, and that it is totally appropriate for us to say, yes, we will carry, in order for you to figure out how to do that and make it work, we as a public will carry that for a little while in a way that we wouldn't normally if we weren't asking for these kinds of amenities. So I'm happy for us to do that, and I am happy to take the staff's recommendation as to whether the tweak that Dooley's talking about the preferred alternative on the sale of the property versus not. I have a question for Ed that takes us into another realm, and I want to know if that has to do with transportation.
Sure, go ahead.
Is that okay? I know we're trying to create a pedestrian-friendly community, and I applaud that. At some point, people do get in their cars for certain business. Was there any discussion with the city and or the town of Ithaca about any transportation amenities? Are these developers going to be asked to help provide the bus, or with TCAT as to whether they can actually
extend
the bus line?
Yes, the town suggested a pedestrian route to a bus stop would be preferable. And
existing bus stop,
not a new one. But putting a bus shelter there potentially. And I have talked to TCAT, and TCAT just clarified where the bus shelter should, there would be more discussions with them, but where the bus stop is, it would be the appropriate place for something like that. And they were fine with that.
Okay, and then in terms of whether this will provide a significant additional number, marginal difference in the number of cars going in and out and up and down that road, whether we ought to be asking for anything to make that go more smoothly.
I'm sure all options will be investigated that would help. I know the town also mentioned, well, it would be nice if there was car share up there because sometimes that reduces the number of trips people take. All of those things will be discussed. Whether they're all going to be feasible or not, I don't know.
In terms of adding it to the RFP is what I'm asking about.
Well, it's mentioned.
If we want it, if it's something that's really important to us.
I think it's mentioned in general under transportation options or other options. Just before opportunities for developers, there's a paragraph that ends with features to encourage use of transportation alternatives such as a bus shelter or car share option. Those are two examples, but there could be others.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Leslin, Frank, Kathy Luce, Jim, and then Pat.
Hi, Ed. Great work. Thank you very much. I have a couple of questions to ask. I'm going to go to that second page of this. I appreciate reading about the affordable housing portion of this, but I need a little bit more explanation of what that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 dash means, the one that begins with develop 20% of units,
yes.
Blah, 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 households making up to 80% of median household income.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the what we're trying to capture there? It doesn't look like it's low income.
80% of median is the HUD standard for low, moderate. It's kind of the ceiling.
Low to moderate.
Okay. Yes. And in this case, generally, going lower than that is hard to do with ownership housing. There's an interest in getting, although they don't all have to be ownership units, a predominance of ownership units here. So 80% is typically the standard that's most frequently used. To go lower requires a lot of extra subsidy, which has to come from other grant programs. And it is done, and it is done here locally.
Okay.
But it's a tough thing to do when we're asking for all these other things as well. So the real effort here was to get a show that it's possible to do a percentage of housing units within a mixed-income development that would be affordable to low-mod, the standard the HUD gives. And also, we asked for the majority of, or a good share of the rest of the units to be in the middle income range of 80 to 120%, which is a big area that's lacking as well in this community for new housing. So there really is an effort here to show that mixed income housing can work. It's been a hard thing for people to make work. Believe me, people have tried, and it's really not that easy to do. But that's the effort here, so that there would be a middle income focus, some affordable to the lower end of the middle income scale, and there would no doubt be some at the higher end of the middle income scale. But the effort here being to get a mix of incomes.
I appreciate you acknowledging that it has been done here in this community, you know,
yes.
The lower end
it
of
has.
The scale as well. My next question has to do with the two bullets after that, which is the develop half of the units as, I'm not sure what the change is. Single ownership or single, no. Is it family?
It's just the hyphen. That's the only change was a hyphen was added. Single family. Single
what
family
does that mean?
Ownership units. So that means that they are not a part of a multifamily building. They're single family ownership units. They could be condominium units. They could be it describes they could be come in many different forms, but they would be owned by the occupant.
Thank
as
you.
Opposed to leased.
Thank you. And then my third point is, because this is a request for proposals for to develop, I wonder if there is some place in here that asks for demonstrated, or it may not be demonstrated, but what folks intend to do in terms of diversity and inclusion in their workforce or in their rentals and sales, et cetera, or if they have any demonstrated experience around that. I didn't see anything, and so I thought I'd ask.
I think we should put at least the language
that
we support, you know, our diverse and inclusive community, that we expect efforts in that regard, and obviously compliance with all fair housing requirements. I think that should be included in here. It's a good point, and we can add that.
Yeah, and it would be nice to see, as people, the submittals, submission requirements.
Sure.
That folks may have something that they can submit about what they have done
in
that regard.
We'll be happy to add that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Frank.
Ed, I really would like to see a provision in there about interest. And I've been chewing on something in that paragraph. The sentence beginning with, in the second line, this is under payment for property. Payment will be made quarterly on a prorated basis based on the proportion of units sold or leased during the quarter. Interest to be charged and not to exceed that which the county negotiated on its most recent bond purchase. So that if David is successful, I almost said prevailing mortgage rate, but, you know, prevailing mortgage rate is anywhere, depending, 4 to 6, commercial might be a little bit higher. But that way, any developer would still be getting a break because Dave is going to negotiate these bonds at 2% or something. But what I'm concerned about is we're giving somebody, I realize as a concession, people are making these, they're not concessions, but these accommodations that you mentioned earlier in this. But it seems unfair to me that property that's owned by the local taxpayer, the county property is owned by the local taxpayer, and they're being asked to carry the burden on an installment sale. Let's make it an incentive for the developer to pay the money up front. And the sooner they sell the units, the lower the interest would be. But tie it into something that's somewhat beneficial, and if it could be done with the tying it to the bond, you know, whatever Dave can negotiate on a bond is usually better than what they get charged on we would get charged on a mortgage.
Well, I certainly appreciate that suggested language. I may defer to David and Joe here in a moment. I would only say there's two things. One, as Jonathan alluded to, the offering price will reflect the fact that they expect to pay interest, so that may all balance out to some degree. I'm also afraid that that interest will be just passed through in the cost of the units. So the later units, they're going to want to come back with a proposal so we can charge more as we go on. Not only inflation costs, but interest costs will be put into the price of the units, and therefore they will be somewhat less affordable. I think that's what's likely to happen. But with that, I don't know if Joe or David has anything to add to that discussion.
Well, we're always at risk here of getting into minutiae on the floor. We don't want to do that. But David and I were just talking, and we have kind of a hybrid maybe between what the two of us are talking about. Frank, I'm a little concerned that if we're going to tie the interest rate to a 20-year bond, this may be a short-term kind of a bridge as opposed to a long-term thing. And I wonder whether we could put in there interest based on market rates as determined by the county director of finance not to exceed 3%.
That's right.
Because then it's kind of fluid. It's looking at what's really going on in the interest market at the time. Somebody knowledgeable would do it. And there's also an upset that protects the developer from exorbitant rates.
As long as it's all done by the end of 2013.
Right.
So
that's
David's
exactly right.
I read this that all the units have to be, the monies all have to be paid in full within 10 years from the date of closing. So that's less than what a bond would be anyway.
Right.
Yeah, three. Pick a number. I just think it ought to be something.
All right, I've got.
I'm fine with that.
All right. Well, this is a meaningful change, substantive change, and I think we should get clarity on the language and actually vote on this. So let me get. So what you're talking about the second, and I've got everybody's name listed here. I won't lose people.
Go back to Joe. Let Joe describe what he was just.
Yeah, so we got the second sentence there. Payment will be made quarterly on a prorated basis based on the proportion of units sold or leased during that quarter, comma, interest to be paid. Is that what you said? That's what you want, right?
Yes.
That's where you want it.
That's where I would suggest putting it.
Okay.
Clarification. Does this
Is this then a requirement of the bids, or is there still any flexibility for them to come with proposals that balance the various parts of the financing and here? Are
we well, leaving, I think we Frank's idea here is, is that you are, whatever else is in the mix, you want want interest paid on.
If they opt to defer the payment, we'll still give them a break, but they ought to pay something for the use of that, quote, money.
Okay. So let's see if we, Joe, read us what you've got again.
I just have a clause at the end of that sentence. At a market rate of interest as determined by the county finance director, comma, not to exceed 3%.
And that's okay with you, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a second to that change? Pat seconds that. All right. So let's kind of deal with this issue, and we'll get back to Kathy, Jim, Pat, and Brian. Well, Brian, you're talking. We want to talk about this.
Yeah, I was actually dealing with this.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
We're here to agree to send out an RFP, and part of that is immediately a negotiation, not only on price, but it could be on interest rate. It could be on a whole gamut of other things. I guess that's just a comment rather than a question or whatever. I mean, if let's say, for example, that they offer twice the purchase price or asking price, and then they come back and say, but I don't want any discussion about interest. You know, do we want to lock ourselves into, well, you know, we've got right there that it's 3%.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let's let
other people respond, and because that would be either an argument to find a way to say interest might be negotiated, or it might be an argument to say leave it out entirely. So but Frank seems to have a philosophical, position on it. So,
and I understand.
Okay. Any other comments on this issue? Jim?
Yeah. I was going to make it a negotiation for interest. And not really have a number, but if a number works for people, that's okay by me. But I think everyone in the room realizes how hard it is to develop in this county and New York State. And there has to be incentives to make things happen. And if we tie ourselves up with too many details, we just scare people away over and over and over again. And there's a good record for that in the community. So, if interest is an issue, then you have to, be able to negotiate something with someone to do that. You're shaking your head no, Frank. You think people want to come and develop here?
Yeah, talk to John Novar or Bruno Schickel, and then come back and let me know.
Okay, I will.
Any other comments on this issue? Leslyn, Dooley, Pam. Okay.
So I don't mind the 3%, the up to 3% being in there, but I also appreciate that we can add language about the negotiation, just like we're saying here. So I don't see there's anything wrong with having both of those in there. You know, the finance director can, say it's up to whatever the 3% is, not to exceed 3%, the market rate 3%, which can also be negotiated or something like that.
What I think the difference is it says interest to be charged, so that there will be interest.
I understand that.
Okay.
We always have things like that. No, we don't always. I see things like that all the time, but there's also still room for negotiation. Am
Joe,
I just
does your clause sound... I didn't write it down.
Change the will to can or something.
May.
Might be.
It could be may. I mean, you could use the word may. The way... I saw this. It was. This is a term of the deal.
Right.
So your decision is: we want to impose this term or not. So it was a yes or a no, as opposed to negotiable. You can make that more fluid. You could change the language to say interest may be imposed at market rate to be determined, or you could soften it up that way if you chose to.
Well, it's not often I agree with Brian. I like the fluidity of the language, especially given what he said. If someone comes back and says, I want to give you twice as much and we're thinking that, okay, this may suffice for, you know, whatever that up to 3% may be. We don't lock ourselves into it. You know, that's the only reason why I'm going there.
So would that be an amendment to the amendment?
Okay. There.
Okay. Is there a second to that? Will seconds that. Okay. Does everybody understand? And I can't remember who.
That if somebody makes an offer twice as much as what we're asking for. That's what I heard Les Lynn say. Right.
I think I had Pam and Dooley, or Dooley and Pam, and then Carol. Right?
You didn't forget me, did you?
Well, Jim, Pat before we were on this subject.
I could talk on that subject and slip in my other subject. We're trying to have some integrity here.
All right, let's do.
Wait,
Kathy?
Did you first ask Joe to give us wording?
He did. He said May. All right, go ahead. Do you have it, Joe? You want to read it again?
Well, you'd have to kind of restructure the sentence. You could say after that sentence, interest may be assigned at a market rate determined by the county finance director, not to exceed 3%. Let it be a standalone sentence.
Sounds fine to me.
Sounds fine, Leslie?
Does that work?
Sounds fine to me.
And Will? Okay, good. All right. Let me do Kathy, Jim, Pat, Pam, and Dooley. Kathy.
Okay, at the beginning of this, I just had one comment. When you put me later, see, I have six or seven. No, I'll make it brief. I like the RFP. I like the concept of community benefits, and it's hard to put it down. I'm of the school of thought that says this is a desirable place. We shouldn't sell ourselves short any more than allowing fracking. We should also have good housing if possible, and I applaud this effort. I liked what Leslin said. I had a diversity concern that, for me, it's a community benefit. And I know some would say that it's difficult wording, and I know that it's a little late to go changing things, but it was a glaring omission to me in such a well-worded RFP that community benefit wasn't at least considered for addition to the point system, and would like to suggest that at least in the future, because some language about equal opportunity, it's not enough for me personally. You know, I'd like to see something that said that, you know, if you come to us with some suggestions or language on employees, like under construction, and also employees related to the project, or if you've got some suggestions of how to encourage diversity proportional to the, whatever you want to call it, six county area or whatever, any of that would be a little more creative, and that would be nice. I know it's not the priority of a lot of the folks that come up with this housing stuff, but it is for those of us that have trouble getting housing because we don't have the money and other reasons. It's not just economic. There's race stuff. In terms of the ruling that Martha made in a very subtle way, I'm very glad that we're dealing with the revised 26th version because, frankly, and I don't like to say this, but since Peter's not here, I'm confused. And I'm confused a lot because of all these different versions of things that I haven't had a chance to review. I don't know what's past what. I know somebody probably said this early in the discussion, but explain to me. The redlining means one thing. The blue lining means another thing. Which changes were made with? And this is the one that was approved by committee. And I'm not even looking at the other one. Thank you, Martha, for making that ruling. But I don't know about y'all, but I think we look pretty weird doing things this way. And I'd like for it to, if not stop, could we just notice it? Okay. So somebody can answer that. And then the last comment I have is, for me, this, with the suggested change that was just made, that hybrid amendment, is acceptable and I would support it. I really want to see us make some strides in this area. This is a really sensitive area there by the hospital and the one that's in proposed for Fall Creek. These are really, they have far-reaching implications for density in a downtown area and for trying to figure out how to deal with nodal development. And there's so many other reasons that planners could probably talk about this for a long time, but just as a local resident that's interested in these things, this is really good. So I'm going to support it once y'all can explain to me what's the red and what's the blue.
Okay. If I could take a shot at that?
Yeah, please.
At the committee meeting, there were things discussed verbally that the committee said, fine, we're okay with the RFP with those changes. Dooley had some of those. I had a couple things in response to questions. Dooley's changes were given to the legislature staff who made those. They sent it to me, and I made a couple of additional changes. So the red and blue, I don't know whose was red and whose was blues, but they were between me and the legislature staff making the changes as we understood what the committee wanted.
Can I make a suggestion? In the future, because I know this is going to happen again, could we have a legend at the bottom or somewhere on the page that tells us what's what? Because when it comes to me like this, I don't know whether this went through committee, whether this was decided by an individual and they forwarded it and talked the department head into agreeing to it. I don't know whether they talked to the committee chair and the committee chair said yes, but, and made some more changes. How much of this happens in private? I have no idea.
And honestly, all of these changes were non-substantive. They were editorial, except for the numbers that we put in.
But that's a matter of opinion.
Okay,
I appreciate your opinion, but I just would like a legend, at the very least.
I think it's a helpful note to say, you know, this is the committee approved this document with these changes. And then if there is a second round, okay. Okay, that's good. Jim. Do you remember what you were going to say?
We are still voting on RFP, right? That's my question.
Yeah. We have before us an amendment to amend the amendment on May negotiate.
We are not negotiating a deal with an unknown developer at this point.
At this moment, no. Okay, that's it. Pat?
I have two comments. And I'm going back to the discussion about additional pedestrian amenities from a few minutes ago. And I'd like to know, Ed, if I'm correct in my understanding of this on, there's no page, but under minimum bid, the paragraph where the numbers have been added says something about crediting to the developer to provide related secondary community amenities. So does this mean that if the developer does add something like, for instance, a bus shelter, then we may, in some sort of negotiated way, take off the price, the overall price, because they've done that?
Right.
So this $500,000 could
there should be an executive session to discuss numbers.
This number.
Until we've agreed on it.
Okay. I apologize. I'm very sorry. But that number could change if the developer agreed to include certain amenities. Is that correct?
It could. Okay. It's a May. That was discussed quite a bit at committee, and it was changed to a May. It's a negotiable item.
Okay. We've got Pam, Billy, Frank.
Then I had one other comment, too. By adding the word may to the statement about interest, that would mean then that, in fact, interest may not be charged. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay. I would remind us that that's what's on the table now, is the interest topic. If we can finish that, that'd be really really nice. So I've got Pam, Dooley, Frank. If you have something on a different topic, I'll put you on the next list. But if we can talk about the interest issue, Pam?
Well, I just wanted to say that this RFP has taken a lot of thought and a lot of effort. And it was, when it was put together, I know that the planning department looked at all of the different pieces of it, partly what the developer is going to get out of this and what the community is going to get out of it. And I think that the proposal is a real seriously good. It's a very good result in trying to balance those things. So I'm concerned that we are on the floor of the legislature making these kinds of substantive changes, but I am interested in seeing this thing passed. And so as long as we allow the negotiators the option of not charging the interest, then I will support that. But I really want hope that we don't lose sight of the fact that there's a real balance in this RFP, and we need to move forward with that balance in mind.
Thank you, Pam Dooley.
I was thinking along lines very similar to what Pam said. I was remembering Ed pointing out to us very clearly in his first comments on this that the offering price will be affected by the developer's expectation of having to pay interest and warning that the later units may cost more. And because of that, although in theory I believe in having to pay interest when you don't pay for everything right up front, I don't like the possible effect on this package proposal, which is, I think, what Pam was just saying. So as long as interest is mentioned in a clearly optional way, and I'm not sure if Joe's language does that or not. I need to hear it again. I will support it. But if we definitely were saying we're going to charge interest, I think it might affect what we actually get too much, have too much of an effect. So could you read it again, what the language is that we're talking about? Please, somebody.
Like me to do it? Should Kathy do it to make sure it's on the record? I now have a separate sentence after the end of the sentence that begins payment. Interest may be charged at a market rate as determined by the county finance director, comma, not to exceed 3%.
So there's nothing about to be negotiated with the developer in there.
It's the word may that makes it fluid.
Totally up to the county. I guess I would rather see some back and forth possibility in the language, and I don't see that.
Maybe negotiated to be charged? Maybe negotiated?
The amount to be negotiated, because I'm concerned that it will really affect what we wind up getting.
Depending upon the rest of the proposal?
Oh, boy, I really don't want to do this.
I tried to include the word negotiated somewhere, but I couldn't figure out where to put it, so if Dooley has an idea.
I don't. I feel the need for it, but the wording is... I'm beaten down tonight.
Interest may be negotiated?
Charged.
Personally, I think as long as we understand the spirit of what you want, and we do, you would like us to recognize this as one of those terms that is negotiable. This one isn't off limits. And by putting the word may in there, that's what we've tried to do economically on the fly in this language. So I'd be inclined to...
And?
The first question we're going to get is, what does that mean? When I'm putting down together a pro forma and have to crunch my numbers to tell you what I'm going to submit as a bid, what does that mean?
Right.
That's going to be the problem.
Okay. Frank?
I'm a little disappointed with some of you that are interested in giving away the store. I don't think it's inappropriate in this day and age, even... with all due respect to Carol, even Ithaca Neighborhood Housing had us negotiate when they renegotiated that arrangement with the IDA and TCAD recently. We consolidated a number of mortgages that they had that had interest on them. They weren't getting a completely free ride either. And consolidated them into one package to give them a better deal on that overall rate. There's a lot of concessions in this, and I'm a little concerned that the taxpayer who owns this property I like the language that Joe came up with. any developer that's going to step forward is not stupid, and they're not naive. They're going to assume that you're not going to give them something for nothing. I'd like to see some I would prefer to see stronger language, but I'm willing to accept this as a compromise. Let's see what we get. If it's just like a union negotiation, we're giving the staff an opportunity with some parameters. If they come back, and I think it was Leslin that said it, if they come back with a deal that says we really don't want to do that, but let's see what how you feel about this. And some of these people are pretty creative. You know, they're not building shanties. Go look at Novar's project and look at the 75 additional units that Bruno Schickel wants to build there, and they make money doing it. That's the profit side. Having said that, I have a question on a completely different item, if that's appropriate.
You're on the beginning of the next list, okay? Let's just get closure on this one, okay? All right, I'm going to take a turn. If somebody is in the situation where they're paying 50% and they haven't built the rest of the house, they're paying property taxes on the whole thing, right?
Right.
But obviously the part that's not, doesn't have anything built is at a lower rate. Okay. All right. Something you just said, Ed, made my mind up. I don't know much about business, but I do know that people say that uncertainty is really a problem in people trying to make a deal like this or do something like this. This is, somebody is going to have to be very creative, Frank, to even look at this, even think about doing it. I like the idea of trying to negotiate. I like the idea of leaving flexibility in, as a general matter, but I don't think that's going to be helpful here, and I think we shouldn't include anything about interest here. Mike. Okay, second. All right, second by Jim. All in favor of calling the question on the amendment to the amendment?
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. Frank, you going to vote?
No, you got no vote.
Okay, 10-4. Passes. So all in favor of the amendment to the amendment.
Could you read it,
which
please?
Should be read, yes. I was getting there.
We just want to make sure.
Interest may be charged at a market rate as determined by the as determined by the finance director, not to exceed 3%.
That's a standalone sentence.
Correct.
All in favor of that? Yes, Kathy.
So that's the only part of this. It's not the rest of these changes.
All right. The amendment to the amendment means that this is, we would be voting to vote on this. Am I right, Jonathan?
Making this part of the vote.
If this passes, that would now be the amendment, and then you'd have to vote on the amendment.
Okay. Okay. All in favor of substituting this amendment for the other amendment? All in favor of that? Please raise your hand.
Wait, those are different things.
This would place this in as the amendment that we would then have an up or down vote on. So if you think negotiation...
So all the other July...
All I'm talking about is this clause. This is the only thing we're voting on right now.
Added to the June...
To the June 26th.
Okay. And then we can do the other separate.
This is the... So if you say yes, if you raise your hand yes, then you want this to be the one that we vote on up or down. Okay? All in favor of the amendments... The amendment to the amendment.
I'm sorry, that's
trust
that's
me on this.
Do you understand this?
No. Okay. If we.
Did you say this is an amendment to an amendment?
Yes, the first amendment was Frank's, that there shall be interest paid. This is now an amendment that there may be interest paid.
I couldn't remember what.
Right. Okay. So if I might just. Try to explain this. If you if you, all in favor, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12, 13, 14, 13. Opposed? So 13 to 1. All right. Me.
Now that becomes the amendment.
So this is now the amendment. Is there discussion on the amendment, which we've really all had, I think. So this is the amendment now. Do we want to put this into the document? Jim?
Is it shall or may?
This is may. We just voted to make it may.
Okay.
Carol?
So what I'm confused about is any of what Dooley was suggesting with that one substantive change.
This is the only thing we're voting on.
Or not on the table?
No, it's not.
We're voting against Carol. Okay.
I don't think any of the others are substantive. Breaking a paragraph, is not. We're not going to vote on that. All in favor of adding this clause that says we may negotiate interest.
Does it have the word negotiate?
No. No. I'm going to read it again.
Just checking.
Interest may be charged at a market rate as determined by a finance director not to exceed 3%.
All right. All in favor of that amendment to the RFP, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11. Opposed? Three. 11 to 3, that passes. Okay. Okay. Frank, yes, you're at the beginning of the next list.
May I ask a question about another thing?
Maybe.
Is it may or shall? Or, Ed, do you have a copy of the resolution?
Yes.
Line 26. Yes. Whereas the town of Ithaca is supportive of the guidelines developed but has identified an alternative use for this parcel and suggests such a development may be more suitable to the west side of Route 96. And it looks like the town is concerned about what we're doing, but the rest of the resolution goes on to say, in my opinion, we're doing it the way we're proposing it. We're not going to abide by their wish, except that we're going to do things according to the building code and whatnot. Do I understand that right?
Yeah, we will have to get a zoning approval from the town, a zone change and approval of the plant. All those things will have to happen before anything happens there. This was not my original language. It was added.
It was added
at the committee.
By the way, thank you for the last one. Appreciate that. Thanks, Martha.
Any other discussion on the RFP? Ready to vote? On the resolution that includes the June 26th version of the RFP with the change that we have made.
Wait, can I ask a question first?
Yes. Carol Leslam Dooley.
Yeah. So does this, do you anticipate issues with the town of Ithaca giving a site plan approval? Should we go through all of this and put developers through developing the proposal?
Nothing is done until it's done. The closing is dependent on getting the zoning change. So there will not be a closing or any money changing hands until the zoning change occurs. And so at that point, the proposal should have, you know, there should be.
Okay, but has the town of Ithaca indicated an unwill, you know, a reluctance to have us develop this way?
Some members have, and some members haven't. Until they vote, it's impossible to know how somebody will vote.
But there was a 4-3 vote that.
I feel that there is a majority of the town board that will support this. But I don't determine how they vote when it comes time to vote.
And the process for making the zoning changes, does
the
that...
The zoning change.
They go first to the town...
The town board,
board
has to approve the zoning,
zoning
change. No, the town board has to approve the zoning change.
All right, Leslin, Dooley, Kathy, and then Will.
So what we're voting on, Martha, will include the changes suggested by Dooley, which are not substantive.
Right.
As well as the diversity and inclusion language that Edward has in there. and the amendment that we just passed.
Correct.
This is what we're voting on.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Julie?
The town of Ithaca has included in its draft updated comprehensive plan language that strange sentence in the resolution that reflects that, and it's up for comment. And so what that language in the resolution says is a moving target for the town. And from discussions that I've had with town board members and the supervisor, it's pretty clear that although they may have ideas of where they'd like certain kinds of development, when a real live developer comes with a project, the chances are that the planning board and the town board will just worry about what they worry about, which is traffic and so forth, and will not have any problem with this at all. This will happen way before they get other proposals. So I don't think it's a worry.
Okay, good. Kathy, Will, and myself are going.
Thanks. I know that there's residents of that area that are concerned that this will change the character of their neighborhood. And I think that's something that the town of Ithaca is going to be responsive to and concerned about. But that's a reality. My question concerns something that someone raised with me, and that is, I figured it out by reading it. They asked me if it was possible, since we've got all this talk about this being taken, put back on the tax rolls because it's off the tax rolls right now. What if a nonprofit development corporation buys it and finds a way to keep it as a nonprofit and then it's not on the tax rolls? Is that provided for, or would we just have to bite that, or what? Because I'm sure that would also be of concern to the town.
Well, first of all, we're looking at encouraging ownership housing. So ultimately, each of these units is going to be owned by an individual who would be responsible for the taxes. If there's rental housing owned by a nonprofit, there's still a payment of taxes. It's just a formula. It really is based on the income generation of the multifamily housing, which I don't want to say much more than that. But there would be taxes paid on this property under this scenario. Under almost any scenario, there would be taxes paid. The amount might vary based on the proposal, but there would be taxes paid.
So the assertions that I got from some folks who were concerned about this, that there's a high probability that this could become tax exempt under the proposal that might be floated. This was the way, kind of, those are unfounded.
I would say they're unfounded.
Great.
And this legislature will have approval, and you'll know what you're approving before anything goes forward.
Could it be passed on after that? I mean, you know how these switcheroos happen.
I mean, any property's taxable status might change someday in the future, but we're looking at housing and ownership housing to a large extent, and it's hard to imagine that not paying taxes.
Fair enough. Thanks.
Will?
I'm just going to say essentially what Julie said and confirm that my sense is that the board is generally favorable to this, though the board is split. And what is proposed in this is far preferable to what could currently be built under current zoning. So I think that will weigh heavily.
My comment is that we don't own land on the west side of Route 96, so we couldn't do this on the west side of Route 96. If their development preference is on the other side, that's up to somebody else. And I believe that the alternative use is a nursing home, and I don't think they have anybody trying to do a nurse, who wants to build a nursing home in Tompkins County. So those are some reactions to that. Are there any other comments? Are we ready to vote on this with the suggestions and changes? Jim, did you have any of that? Ready? All in favor of the resolution and the RFP with all the changes that we've made? Please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
I won't bring you another one of these right away, okay?
Well, no, congratulations, Ed. It's been a huge amount of work.
Thank you all for your interest, and it was a good discussion. Thanks.
Don't go away. You've got another one. Yeah. It's really, I think, going to be an exciting development, and we certainly need the housing. Will you have resolution, is it N?
It is N, and this was the one that we added to the agenda, and it came out of a special PEDAC meeting that happened right before this meeting. This is the authorization to continue the home ownership program through the use of program income funds and to contract with Better Housing for Tompkins County, and I so move.
Second by Pam.
And I would, you all should have the sheet in your, was it in the red folders? Or
yeah.
Okay. There was one word change I want to add on the second whereas, which reads, whereas the county operates a homeownership program that serves low to moderate, the missing word is income, first-time home buyers. So please insert the word income between low to moderate and first time.
Okay, thank you. Kathy Luce?
Thanks. I raised a question at the meeting and was hoping that we could just get a review of recent history of the home ownership program because at budget committee or sometime recently, somebody explained to me that under the summary is that it's changed and now the funding has to be spent down every year in order to qualify for the new grant, that they look more kindly on it. But maybe you can explain it better. For me, that was a new news, and I needed a little more explanation of it, and I thought that maybe it could just be stated more better.
You wanted me to respond to that, right, Kathy?
Yes, please. Okay. I'd appreciate it.
Yes. Just a very brief history. We've been doing this program since way before I came here, over 20 years, I think, now. And the rules of the program has changed over time. It was originally administered by the Housing and Urban Development Federal Agency directly. That was transferred to the state over, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, probably. And the philosophy, we started under the philosophy of making this a revolving loan fund, basically. We'd loan the money out, it would be paid back on a deferred mortgage basis with low interest, and then we would re-loan it out. And we would keep a pool of money that we could operate from. When it was taken over by the state, and that money would constantly have to be monitored by HUD that you're using it properly. When it was taken over by the state, they changed their philosophy a little bit. They said if you have any program income funds, you have to completely expend them all before we're going to give you any new grant funds. That was the first part. So the idea of you having a pool of money that you continually loan means you can't apply for any more, which is a real problem with this program. The second part of it is they didn't want you to create this revolving loan fund. They thought it's better to grant the money as much as possible to the people that need it to help them get into a home and expend it all, and then they don't have to continue to monitor it, and your grant application's not going to be competitive with other grant applications if they're proposing to give it as a grant and you're proposing to give it as a loan. So the program has changed over the years to respond to those requirements from the state to be more oriented to a grant than to a loan. There are still some that are loans, but most of them now are it's partly based on income, but it's also based on how long you stay in the house. If you stay in 5 years, it's a deferred loan that's forgiven in most cases. And but we still have from the old grants money that's coming in, and that's the source of the funds for what we're proposing tonight, which is to continue to operate the program until we can get the next grant.
Can I just follow up? That was an excellent explanation. I really do like this program. I think it's a shame that we can't do the revolving loan anymore, but it helps me to understand what was driving the change in that, and I appreciate the review.
You're welcome.
All right. Are we ready to vote on this then? All in favor, please raise your hand. Resolution M. Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ed. All right. Let's see where we were. I think I need to go back to the broadband committee with Pat Pryor, right?
My report will be very brief this evening. The next meeting of the committee is on July 23rd at 5:30, the Borg Warner Room of the Tompkins County Public Library. One of the main items on our agenda is going to be to review the results of the phone survey. We had very good response. We haven't had a chance yet to really sit down and take a look at the breakdown of the responses, but that's what we'll be doing at this meeting. So if any of you are interested, we'd be happy to have you join us.
Thank you, Pat. Any questions? All right. Jim, we're all set with the Budget Committee, right?
Yes.
Public Safety Committee. Brian, you had said earlier something about that Peter would do the report. You would do resolutions, but I don't see any resolutions, right?
I don't either.
Okay. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McBean, Claiborne Chair.
Thank you very much. WDIC met last Wednesday, the 27th of June. We had a great meeting. It was, we had a conference, a telephone conference meeting with members of the Seattle Civil Rights Unit who are responsible, not members, a member, who is responsible for the race and social justice initiative that they have been carrying out in Seattle. We had a number of questions for them. It was a really great meeting. Out of it will come some documents, some proposals, some information, things that they have been using that we will take a look at and see if there are things that we can mirror here. We'll continue to have conversations, more conversations with them. Our hope was to do a video conferencing, but the equipment weren't talking to each other or something. But it did work out really well, and we were really pleased to be in consultation with Julie on some of the work they've been doing there and making great strides in their diversity efforts, especially around the workforce and contracts and just overall within the city, and even understanding some of the challenges and the difficulties that they have in getting, you know, some people on board slowly, others not as quickly. So it's not an easy fix by any means, but they certainly are making great strides. And so our entire meeting was primarily taken up with that, and then just a little bit of discussion around the upcoming department head legislature retreat, and just us preparing ourselves as a committee for, you know, how do we help move forward, what will come out of that meeting.
That was Thank it. You, Leslie. Any questions? All right, thanks. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Excuse me. The Health Committee has not met. Well, actually, we did meet. We met for a minute and a half before tonight's meeting. And one of the items that we already addressed, it was Resolution B, has already passed under consent. I just want to bring that one to your attention. If you remember, we received a grant from, excuse me, I'm losing my voice, the Community Health Foundation of Western New York, the Care Transitions Program that we were fortunate enough to be approved for has to have quarterly meetings, and usually they're in Baltimore. Because COFA and a number of the participants and the organizations they represent can't fund those trips all the time, the organization, the Community Health Foundation, which is a major sponsor of the entire grant, stepped forward and has awarded us a $6,000 grant so that that will defray the expenses of sending this troop of individuals down for the training. We have an item that will be coming to. It was pulled off the consent agenda. I wanted to remind the committee, I am going to cancel the Health Committee meeting which normally would take place next Tuesday, a week from tonight. We have one resolution and one budget adjustment, neither of which are time critical. I talked with Tom Herndon in DSS, and we can have another meeting just before the next board meeting in order to pass that. It's just an adjustment that they needed, and the other is a budget adjustment. And I know that Nathan and Jim enjoy the health committees so much that that I've not consulted with them, but decided that we could postpone next week's meeting because of some of us need to farm. So there will be no health committee meeting next week. End of my report.
And then Resolution C.
Resolution C, authorizing a public hearing on proposed local law number D, amending the Tompkins County Charter, Article 9, Department of Health, and I'll move that.
Seconded by Pat.
I think Dooley asked that this come off, so what was your question?
I don't have a question. I want it in the interest of transparency. There were a few changes to Article 9. Mm-hmm. Which...
Now, those are the ones we talked about on the phone?
Yes, which Frank Krupa agreed to, which you agreed to, and which I want everyone here to know.
Go ahead.
About. There is a copy in your red folder. It says changes proposed by Legislator Kiefer. If you look at it, you will see red track change marks. You'll see some that are gigantic in size, because Kathy Covert decided the easiest way to see them is if you make them double boldface. Those are the changes. They're not substantive, but if you look at the top of the third page, it says letter A, formulate, promulgate, adopt, amend, or repeal, and so forth. And then if you go down to section 9.05, you will see the language or to repeal, remove. That's just clarifying that those same actions are covered in what the Board of Health does there.
Just, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And the other one is that in the middle of page 3, it said both boards must mutually agree on the fees, but that was when we were a Board of Representatives. Now we're a legislature. So those two things had to be separated into Board of Health and legislature. I think that's it.
Thanks, Madam Chair. The reason for the charter change is outlined in the resolve. Because of the CHA closing, we still have to apply for a license in order to run a licensed home care services agency, something that takes place in the health department but is not the CHA. It's associated with the MOMS program. And in order to do that, we have to change the charter to reflect that license. And essentially, with Dooley's help, we're clearing up some of the language in the sanitary code at the same time, in the bylaws and the charter at the same time. That's essentially what this does.
So are these changes acceptable to the mover and seconder? I would.
Yes. And we did, okay. Martha, we did speak with Frank Krupa about them also, and he didn't have any problem with them.
Okay.
He was surprised he hadn't caught one of them himself.
Okay.
I have a question, Frank. Is there, for CHA, we pronounce CHA, even though it was spelled strangely, is there a similar short way you refer to the new licensed agency?
ALISCA?
Seriously, is there a...
LISCA.
Just LISCA.
LISCA.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, so the public hearing would be based upon this revised document. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So all in favor of the resolution to set the public hearing, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous.
So there will be a health committee meeting prior to the next legislative meeting, but the meeting next Tuesday is canceled.
Okay.
The regular committee meeting.
All right. Thank you very much, Frank.
You're welcome.
Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
We will meet this coming Friday, July 6th, from 9:45 till, well, we're scheduled to go till 12:15 p.m. See you there.
All right. Thank you very much. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Thank you. Some important issues came up at our meeting on June 20th that I want to share with you. First off, we continued our review of the 20-year capital plan, looking at the issue that I told you about before of whether we could some way each year add to or take a part of the levy or increase the levy so that we can pay for the capital projects that we have on the schedule. In the past, they had looked at having 1% on the levy added each year for that. We're having trouble with that naturally because of the times we're in and the tax cap. We looked at, thanks to Ed Marks and Kevin Sutherland, we looked at a couple of other scenarios. We looked at having 0.5% on the levy increase for 4 years and 0.75% increase on the levy for 3 years. And we think we're going to be sending those scenarios to the budget process this year for consideration by this group. Frank raised a question at our last meeting about those projects that are funded by the county, such as the cooperative extension mortgage, and yet we have offsetting revenue, so it isn't coming out of our taxpayer dollars. Those were lumped basically on the schedules that we have, and we're going to ask that those be broken down so that we can see each of those projects, like the cooperative extension, like Tompkins Community Action, and whatever other ones we have there. So that's going to be easier to see, Frank.
Thank
you. The Human Services Annex building, which has gone now to bid for the COFA initially, we had budgeted $1.3 million, and we are expecting we were sorry to see the bids come in about $200,000 high, about $1.5 million. We talked a lot with Holt Architects about that and with Raul Lamaro. Some of the bidders that we thought might bid were reluctant to do that because of some of the county policies, which we may want to look at in the future. We may have to look at that project very carefully as to whether or not we can get this $200,000 figure reduced. And we've asked Hold Architects and our facilities department to begin discussions with the bidder on that to see whether we can bring that down. We are certainly not at the committee level. We don't have any recommendation to simply add $200,000 here. We're going to see what we need to do, and if necessary, to reduce the scope of the project somewhat. So stay tuned, but that was not terribly good news for us. The other bit of news that wasn't terribly good was the cost projections for the move of the legislature over to the old courthouse. As you know, these costs are being foisted on us by a state mandate through the Office of Court Administration, which is telling us we have to be out of this room, that we have to relocate, which we'll be relocating to the old Supreme Court chambers in, or Supreme Court room, rather, in the old courthouse, and then having to build a new Supreme Court room here. We had talked about that project costing somewhere in the $400,000 range. Well, for the basic project, that's pretty close, and the estimates that are coming in. However, if we add the rehabilitation of the basement conference room, that adds another $78,000. If we add acoustical treatment to the walls and other places in the old court room, to make to get rid of the echo and some other things. That would add another $125,000 to the project. And the initial estimate for the audio-visual, and that includes the hookups for the TV cable connection for broadcast, having the proper lighting and other things, would add, at first blush, $335,000 to this project, bringing it up close to well over $900,000 instead of $400,000. Again, we're asking the architects and the facilities department to go back and take another look at this. We don't think probably we need as elaborate a studio atmosphere in the building as maybe the folks who have been looking at this have proposed. We need to be able to broadcast as we do from this room, but we don't need to have it look like we're Face the Nation or something like that. So these aren't pleasant figures, but I want you to know about them. And we'll be back to you with more information as soon as we have it. We also had an executive session discussion about the space for moving the programs out of the old library, and I think you'll hear more about that in our executive session tonight.
Thank you very much, Mike. Any questions for Mike? Pam?
Well, I have a comment. I just hope that in our need to contain costs, that we don't sacrifice the kind of quality of acoustical materials that will make life bearable for all the people who have to work in that room. I mean, I think that that's, sometimes we rob Peter to pay Paul, and we end up paying much more in terms of just we it's a false savings because of the kind of poor working conditions that we create. So I'm hoping that we will figure out a way to make sure that, those costs are taken care of.
I think they're important.
I have a question. Mike, I wasn't at the meeting. I was in Albany that day. How many bidders did we have on Carpet Bazaar?
I think, was it four, Joe? Do you remember?
That sounds right. Offhand, I can't remember, but that sounds right.
Okay, and how many on, do you know how many on the courthouse?
Yeah, we didn't go to bid yet on
didn't
that.
Go
those
to bid.
Are just
That's
architectural estimates.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
You're talking about the overall bids, but the subcontractors, I think it was only one electrician. There were not a lot of others that they were able to include. And when Mike referred to some of our policies, that influenced the smaller number of bidders.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Thanks very much, Mike. Government Operations Committee, we're back to you, Dolly.
Yes. There, I have Resolution J, Appropriation from Contingent Fund, Electronic Mail Archiving. That's for Information Technology Services. I move it.
Seconded by Leslin. Discussion. This is a short form roll call. If we're ready to vote. All in favor? In favor. Kathy?
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
And Resolution K, Budget Adjustment and Appropriations of Unspent Funds. This is the new title from 2011 to various accounts. For departments that report to Government Operations Committee. And by request of at least one legislator, you had all of the backup information in your red folder, so that I hope you won't ask me any questions about any of these budget adjustments, but you may if you want to. Yeah. I move it.
Seconded by Pam. Discussion? All right. That's a short form roll call also.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
So I have one more resolution that we added to the agenda. It's authorization to execute quitclaim deeds, sale of foreclosure properties at public auction. I move it.
Second by Pat. Any discussion? I know that there has been some concern about municipalities not getting information in a timely way. And Dooley, you said that you would raise that with David and have that part of a discussion at a committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thank you. Ready to vote then? All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous.
So for committee report, we're meeting Friday, the 13th of July, one of those days again. And Jonathan Wood told me that I can report to you all finally that all of the financial disclosure forms required to be turned in have been turned in.
Yay. Good. All right. Thank you very much, Dooley. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
We will be meeting on the 11th of July and have more to report after that. That's my report.
All right. Thank you very much, Will. And Dooley, you have a member filed resolution.
I do. Thank you. It has a letter on it. It's letter L. It's a resolution in support of expanding emergency planning zones around nuclear power plants. I move it.
Second by Kathy.
I deluged you with background information in the hopes that there wouldn't be any questions.
Are there? Carol?
Yeah, I have a question about the, wait, is this particularly timely? Are they talking about this
the
now?
Comment period closes July 16th.
Okay. Thank you for bringing it.
Brian.
I have just one small proposed change.
Mm-hmm.
It would be on the second page, I guess. In the first whereas, where it reads, but today, hundreds of millions of Americans live within 50 miles of nuclear power plants. And I would propose that we change that to hundreds of millions of Americans live within 50 miles of a nuclear power plant. That seems to
That's
suggest...
That's much better. Much better. Thank you.
Friendly?
Absolutely.
Can we talk about that?
I'm not sure. We didn't get it ahead of time, Brian. We didn't get that ahead of time. I don't know.
Oh, I was just reading
red?
It.
Is that red or is that blue?
All right. Is there any other discussion? I want to thank Dooley for bringing this to our attention, especially with all the material behind it. So thank you. Ready to vote. All in favor of this resolution, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you, Dooley.
Thank you.
Arthur, just a point of clarification.
Yes, sir.
On the, going back to Kathy Herrera's question about the reds and the blues, are the reds the Republicans and the blues the Democrats?
Yes.
Just.
That'll be the legend.
Tomorrow, everybody's red, white, and blue. So.
That's right. All right. And nobody commented
so
on what I'm wearing.
The next board
I have a June 19th minutes. Can I get a motion on those?
Yeah, move them.
Frank moves. Pat seconds. Comments, suggestions? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Two opposed. So they pass. 12-2. All right. I would like a motion to go into executive session. Yes, remember that. To discuss real estate. Moved by Jim, second by Pat. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? I do not expect us to take your pose. Okay. 13-1. I do not expect us to take action after we can come out. So we will take a 5-minute break while we shut the cameras down. Be back in your seats, please, at 9:15.
But I did because I'm home.